What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
The word adversity is described as unfavorable fortune or fate, a condition marked by misfortune, calamity, or distress. Used in a sentence, friends will show their true colors in times of adversity. Its synonyms include catastrophe, disaster, misery, and the antonym is prosperity. So talk to successful people about their adversities, and usually you find their road to prosperity. At least Lance Ezio seems to have found that out. Lance, a true Canadian boy from out west, former junior hockey player, professional bartender, and once professional drinker, someone who has hit rock bottom, and someone who is learning and sharing all aspects of adversity, learning from others and being inspired by others on his podcast, The University of Adversity. So I'm so excited to be able to share his journey, and joining us for his journey all the way from Vancouver, it's great to have Lance here. So welcome everyone to Living Your Life with Leanne Lang. Excited to get this going. Lance, so great to have you here.
Oh, so excited to be here. That was a great intro. Thanks very much.
Well, you know, it's nice to be able to talk to a fellow Canadian. I think people will understand your story coming from the fact that you're a Canadian boy out west playing hockey, running into the same typical issues, problems, obstacles that I think so many young gentlemen find here in terms of having NHL aspirations and then realizing at one point they're not part of the 0.01% of guys that actually make it, then finding life from there. So if you don't mind, because I think what you've done is fascinating, I can't wait to hear some of the stories coming out of your podcast, but I think the essence of it is that you yourself are your own kind of subject matter as to what you really went through. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, that's it's been quite the journey, to say the least. So I grew up actually in Edmonton till I was about 10. Then I moved out to Victoria out west back when I was about 11. So yeah, I grew up in a hockey family. It was very like, there was not much to do in Edmonton but hockey, right? And if you didn't play hockey, it was kind of like just...
You played football. Well, you went and watched Edmonton Eskimos games.
Yeah,
back in the day,
it was the City of Champions back then. It was actually like we were doing really well. And that's, we won everything back then. But so hockey was kind of installed into me at a young age. I played, I was really good. At a young age, I got to travel all over the world, like the best tournaments. When I was around 10, 11, I was one of the best around back then. So my vision was obviously to make it to the NHL. And we moved out west. Hockey was a bit different out there.
Okay, do you want to let people know? Because I know your story. It was a breakup of the family at this point.
Yeah, yeah. My parents split up. So my dad was from out west, and he decided whatever opportunity he had to move back to Victoria, he would take it. So he got a job out there. We moved out there, Vancouver Island. So obviously in 1995, hockey wasn't the biggest priority on Vancouver Island. So my development wasn't as good as it would have been in Edmonton. So anyways, I continued on that journey playing hockey and getting into the junior ranks. I started to lose a lot of focus. I started to get into like, you know, the partying and all that kind of stuff. And I was very close. I was playing junior A. I played in Coquitlam, Merritt, Powell River. And my last year, going into my last year junior, I went and did a very smart, stupid thing. very stupid thing. And I did steroids, which pretty much costed me my career. Well, not that exactly, but I mean, you know, that's kind of what led me down to, I got to training camp and they're just like, well, what did you do? I gained all this weight. As a skater,
I mean, had you, yeah. I don't know if it's maybe different, right? Because the off ice and the summer training is so different now for young hockey players, and the focus is different, and the full functioning mobility aspects is really worked on. But back then, I'm just thinking, you know, they saw you on the ice and went, what happened?
Yeah. You know, I was just, after my 19-year-old season, I was thinking about, I wanted the edge. I just wanted to make it. And I had a decent year going into my 20-year-old year. I wanted to get a scholarship and I just would do whatever it took. So I did that. I made a big mistake. I put on a bunch of weight, too much. I couldn't skate. They released me. I ended up playing junior B the rest of the year. And then I just kind of went down a downward spiral after that of just, I was really sad because I feel like I let my family down. I feel like I let a lot of people down because I was this hockey player and I really messed it up, you know? And so from there, I was kind of excited about exploring this world of, oh, I actually get to do other things other than just hockey. And like this, like, I thought it was really cool to be able to get a job, which I realized that wasn't that cool after. And, you know, getting into like the drinking and the regular life that I thought I was missing, I really was like, oh, I wish I could go back to the way I used to, you know, live in hockey. So that was kind of how it went. And I just tried all these different jobs, all these different trades, everything I could possibly do. And then I found bartending. I found a way that I could connect with people. I found a way that I could live a toxic lifestyle and have fun, yet get paid for it. And it just turned into this whole thing. And I ended up doing that for my entire 20s. And got to move to Australia and got to run bars. And there's a lot of fun that came out of that, but it was also, there's a lot of like really tough times that came out of that.
It provided for your habit of being able to drink while on the job, while making money. And then in essence, just providing part of the addiction, I think that you would have had in the amount of alcohol that was being consumed. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, that's very fair. And when you're at the center of a good bar or a restaurant, it's like, you know, you're feeding that to people, you know, you're like, you're that, the catalyst to this party. So I mean, I thrived on it. I love people. I love connecting with people. And then I get to drink too. I get to make tips. And I don't know, it was just like this perfect thing for a young person. And it taught me a lot. There was a lot of positives that came out of that, but there's a shelf life for that area. Right. So, but it allowed me to travel. It allowed me to do a lot of things, but I hit a certain point in my life after going through a lot of different things that I had to make a switch. There was no other option, you know?
When do you realize that it's not so perfect? You know, you're in a land far, far away. You're in Australia, which is a very different life than here in Canada. What's the trigger point?
What happened was in 2016, I was in a really rough spot. I was just drinking like crazy, partying. And then we lost my younger brother to suicide, which was really tough because my dad was visiting at the moment in Sydney with me. It was a really messed up situation. So after that, after we lost him, I just spiraled even worse. I had a lot of this was like shame and guilt for not connecting with him enough and all that. And I went down this road again. And then I realized I hit this point where I just knew I had to quit. I just had to quit drinking, you know, because there was things happening in my body. There was just so many signs telling me like, you're either going to end up dead or in jail or something if you don't fix this, you know?
You're going to end up, okay, so hold on. You're going to end up in jail. You're going to end up sick. You're going to end up dead. And I'm sorry to say that, but there's like an emotional connection, at least for me. And I wonder what your brother would have been going through or to be able to understand what he must have been feeling at that point of being able to take his life and for you to relate it or to see any of that happening with you.
Yeah, I had a really, really messed up step family situation. Like there's just so many things that went on in my teenage years, like as far as that, like I could write a book just on that. And my dad got remarried. And it was a really messed up situation for years. I didn't see him. I didn't connect with him. And he was just really depressed. He had this crazy upbringing and didn't get to see my dad much. And there was just all this like nonsense that went on, like right out of a movie. Like you wouldn't believe it. And
should be part of your podcast.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I almost, it's, but anyways, he went through this, he was down and he was depressed and he just made it and he went on medication and, he just made a bad choice, right? So from there, it was kind of like, there's a lot of realizations hitting me, you know? And, I don't know if it was just that, but there is that with a combination of things that really sort of sparked this thing in me that I had to change. I had to pivot to a different direction, right? So 2017, I gave up the booze. I still bartended while I was sober. I bartended, I ran good bars, and I ended up at the Four Seasons in Sydney, which was awesome. But then I realized when I was sober, I don't want to do this anymore. I was like, I don't want to run bars anymore. I don't have an interest for this anymore. I want to do something that has like meaning and impact, because I love health and wellness. I love being healthy. And there were so many things that were pulling me in a different direction. And I love inspiring people. And there's all the stuff I wanted to do. So I wanted to get out of the bars, and whatever I could do to get out of there, I did. So I just started to work towards something else.
When at this point do you make your way back to Canada? I mean, if you're in an environment where it's no longer fun. I mean, I can see how bartending and, you know, youth and having fun and being able to drink. But when you're sober in a bar and having to manage the people and what's happening and realizing what it's really like when you're actually sober, what's the decision to get back on a plane and head back home?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, it was because that 2017, that July, I ended up losing my dad to cancer suddenly, which was like, whoa, okay. Like it was just a real realization. My dad encouraged me to stay out there because he thought it was good for me, the direction I was going. But because I'd worked so hard to get to where I was in that spot in the hotels and stuff. But once that happened, I started to think, okay, I need to be closer to my family. There's two people that have gone since I've been gone for 5 years. The girl I was seeing at the time, she was from France. She wanted to go back closer to Europe. So there's just a lot of things, and I had to deal with a lot of stuff with my dad's passing and lawyers and all this stuff that happens you have to deal with. And I needed to be home, you know? So I made my way back in December 2017. And that was, pretty much January 2018 is when I sort of planted my flag back in Vancouver.
Okay. Your home's January, winter. Yeah. You know, it's not like you came back at the best time of the year. What do you decide is next? How are you, as you mentioned, pivoting? Like, what's the pivot point, or what's the first step in that direction?
Well, I actually got into affiliate marketing, which I had no idea about. I got into direct selling. I was promoting, you know, health and wellness technology, stuff that I use, stuff that I was interested in. And it was kind of all I knew. The only thing that I knew, a lot of people doing well with it. But that industry, it's tough. And then we started to tie in like social media advertising. And I really like this style of thing, because there's a lot of like digital nomads creating this new lifestyle, traveling around and, you know, promoting other companies' products through paid ads. And I thought it was cool. But I realized that world, that game is great, but I'm competing with a lot of people, and I felt I wasn't showing who I really was through like my story. And I felt I had this powerful story, and I felt there was more to me than what I could do in a Facebook ad. So I said, what if I start a podcast? What if I started a podcast around my story, because I've experienced a lot of stuff in my life. I'm like, why don't I interview people who have gone through similar things of mine, or just adversity or challenges, and that have been able to overcome that, to be able to go on to do other things. And that's kind of how it was born. So initially I created a podcast in order to sort of set myself apart from my competition, because at the end of the day, people buy from people they trust. And I felt this was a good way to build that. But then it kind of turned into its own thing. This podcast kind of turned into its own beast, and it's kind of become this. And I've, you know, my business has turned into this as well. So it's just way more aligned with who I am, and having these conversations. Like, I've always wanted to be on the radio too. I've always wanted to have like that style of being able to talk and be able to like communicate and be able to express myself, which I was able to do in bartending. But now I'm able to do that in this sort of setting. So that's kind of how it's all evolved. That's sort of how the journey's been.
So because I'm now into this world also of podcasting, you realize that there are there's 750,000 unique podcasts that are currently available. So in that, you have to find your niche. You have to find your market. What was it that brought you to the adversity side? I mean, you could have done a hockey podcast or a affiliate marketing podcast. You know, if you think about going through, or hey, like there's some fun bartending podcasts that you could have, you know, logged into. What was it about the struggles, the adversity, the roadblocks from people that you felt that you could do it and be able to get these unique and really powerful stories back out?
Yeah. That's a great question. I just want to comment on one thing about the podcast is that so many people think there's a lot, but when you think about how many YouTube channels are, there's like 500 million YouTube channels or something crazy. And there's not even a million podcasts yet. So there's still a ton of room for growth. So if you're in a podcast now, there's a lot of room still, right? So I just wanted to touch on that because that perspective, somebody said that to me that I was the other day and I was like, wow, we haven't even scratched the surface yet. When you think about all the YouTube channels out there. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
So, no, that's a good point. Very good point.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's crazy. And when we look back in 5 years, we're going to go, wow, like there wasn't that many then.
Says anyway, the people who started these about 15 years ago.
Yeah,
yes.
But that's the way it is, right? I feel like we're in such a good time right now for this stuff because to get guests and people are still willing to go on shows, it's amazing. Anyways, why did I pick this? Because because this is what I needed. I needed this in my time. I loved inspiration. I love hearing the hero's journey. I love hearing the person come from this to go to there or learning a cool lesson, you know, but there was a lot of good podcasts, Joe Rogan, Aubrey Marcus, Tim Ferriss, different ones. Tom Bilyeu. I love Tom Bilyeu. He's kind of like the one that I'd like to, the Tom Bilyeu of Canada. he's amazing. But he, like, I just love the inspiration. I love that. And I felt that that was the best that I could serve. If I could do a hockey podcast, hey, maybe later. But for me, what I've gone through a lot of tough stuff. And I feel like I've had a lot of life experience. So for me, that's what I can focus. That's what I'm best at serving. I want to serve the world. And this is the best way for me. I love listening to like Spit and Chicklets and hockey podcasts because after doing inspirational podcasts, I can't listen to them all the time. I have to like tune out for a while and have a bit of fun. But for me to produce this, this is kind of what's aligned with me and what I feel that I'd be the best service for.
How easy or difficult did you find it to launch into this and be able to find people that wanted to share their journey?
It's, you know what? It was... It wasn't, it flowed. It flowed from it. Things just flowed nicely. It wasn't really hard. You know, I feel like this was what I was meant to do and things just align when they're meant to, you know, and I've had amazing guests. You know, I've reached out to people like pro athletes, different high influence people. And they're like, yeah, I'll come on. And I'm like, amazing. And that just sort of build, you know, I don't always just go after like famous people or something like that. I love like all different kinds because I feel everyone's got a story. But I guess for me, I release 3 episodes a week. So some days, you know, I record like 8 episodes a week to try and stack them up. And it can be challenging recording 4 in a day some days because it's like, you know, you got to stay energized, obviously. But that's the only challenge I really had. And sometimes when you get these guests, it's hard because I feel like, wow, this person's got worth a lot more than me and a lot smarter than me. It's like, how can I even show up in the same room as this person? But at the end of the day, that's all mindset. It's all mindset.
Okay. Take us through, and I've looked through the long list that you have, and it can be any day from a health and wellness person to a CEO, to an entrepreneur, to you've really found an interesting mix. What's the common theme? Now that you've done over 100+ of these, what do you find is the common theme for most people?
You know what? I've really gotten into like to spirituality, you know, like really tapping into the importance of that in business and in everybody's life. Like I've talked to people who finished, you know, NFL careers that have like pivoted into like doing yoga and like meditation. That's the common thing is mindfulness, doing meditation, having some sort of, you know, practicing some sort of gratitude or some sort of means of tapping into that spiritual side. where that is linked to making money. It is linked to your happiness. It's linked to abundance in your life. And I feel like every conversation ends up talking about some sort of thing like that. And then I'm like, wait a minute, I didn't plan for this to be like this, but it ends up being a conversation piece, which I love because it's changed my life. You know, I would have never thought when I was playing hockey, I would have never used this stuff. I would have been like, this is so stupid. You know?
So we didn't discuss this prior to being on the podcast, but I have found that that is the exact thing that has been the game changer for me for a lot of the people. And because I've done thousands of interviews, especially on television and interviewing doctors and everybody in the health profession that you can imagine. And I joke about the fact that, you know, they would list the, you know, healthy eating, exercise, you know, movement, mindfulness meditation. And I'd be like, okay, that's all right. Self-care. I'm like, I've got three out of the four. I'm doing three out of the four. That's not bad. And little did I realize that meditation mindfulness was actually the biggest factor of all of the other ones combined.
Yeah.
And so it's amazing that you find that has been the common thread that most people have sought. What did you do to start implementing it? Like, how did you then start to realize the mindfulness meditation aspect, and how are you doing that?
Yeah, you know what? I think the first time I was ever even exposed to this was like when I was in Australia, reading The Power of Now, Eckhart Tolle. And that was in probably 2014, but that opened up something that was like being present. I didn't understand what that meant. What? Present? What do you mean present? You know? And as that went on, I started to sort of think about and pay attention more. And then when I got into this, you know, the direct selling and all that network marketing, the good thing about that area was that they teach you a lot of personal development. There's no doubt. There's a lot of like, you have to work on yourself. So I really did. And I started to talk about meditation. They start talk about Think and Grow Rich, different books that really start to teach you and program you. So I just started to play around with that stuff. I started to practice gratitude. Gratitude every day practice was huge for me too.
Did you journal? How did you practice it? What do you do?
So what I would do would be I would write 10 things I was grateful for and why.
10?
Like 10 things. I got
10 every day?
It sounds a bit cheesy, but the book, The Magic by Rhonda Byrne, she wrote The Secret, but this is less secrety. This is more, The Magic is more fundamentals on being grateful, fully embracing it. Some people laugh, but I'm telling you, this book has helped me a lot. And it's like 28 days of gratitude. And I'm telling you, if you follow these, it'll change your life. You write 10 things, what you're grateful for and why, and you read them out after and you really feel it. You combine that with a meditation practice. And I'm telling you, things change. I don't know why. I don't know how gravity works. I don't know how cell phones work. There's something happening out there that happens. And for me, it's worked. And I've just slowly fine-tuned it. You combine that with some yoga. Like, who am I right now talking about
We're
this
talking
stuff?
About
like,
the junior hockey player who took steroids to make it to the next level, who's now doing 10 gratitudes a day with his meditation, mindfulness, gratitude. Like, it's a beautiful thing, right? To look back and connect the dots.
That's
amazing.
Crazy.
So can I ask you, so this 20 days, do you find it difficult to come up with 10 every day? And do they repeat themselves? Like, are 9 out of the 10 repeats?
I've had a process with this. And there was times where I'd beat myself up if I didn't do it. And it would defeat the whole purpose. The whole purpose of this is to just be grateful. If you don't want to do 10, don't do 10, you know? I feel like, how could you not think of 10 things in this world to be grateful for every day? I mean, really. You know,
but like, are you starting at this point to talk about like, I would be putting my Starbucks coffee in there?
I don't know, but you gotta.
How off the grid do you go in 10 a day?
I don't know. I mean, we got legs, we got arms, we got, you know, technology, we got water. There's so many things. I don't know. I mean, I just feel that I've just tell myself, I'm like, look, you gotta be grateful for stuff. And I haven't been able to do it every single day consistently for the last few years. I try my best. On my perfect day, I'll be able to do all that. But I've also realized to understand that no, there's never perfect. You're never gonna be perfect. It's not, as long as I don't take a zero, as long as I say, like, if I do two things, great. If I do one, if I sit and meditate for 5 minutes and tomorrow I do a half an hour, great. But I try not to take a zero. I try and just at least touch on those things every day. I don't beat myself up. And I encourage anybody that's going to do gratitude, don't turn it into this thing that's like this pressure, like I got to do this or I'm like a bad person. It's like, it's not the point. The whole point is to have that feeling of gratitude and be grateful for things and don't turn it into, if I don't do this, I'm a bad person, you know?
Do you seem to have like an aha moment within each of your podcasts when you're like, and this is about to be the clincher when they say gratitude, mindfulness, like, can you anticipate that that's usually what's coming your way when there's the pivot for so many people?
Yeah, it's really bizarre, but not bizarre, you know, like it's starting to be the common thing though. It's because I find it interesting because I love studying people who are successful. I love it. And hearing these things, it's like, okay, there's a common theme here.
Do you find that you've seen a common theme when you're dealing with addiction or were you talking with people that have been on similar paths? When you're dealing with people who are coming at their adversity from different factors, but that there's a correlation with how people were able to beat addiction and be able to work through it and are now on the prosperity side?
Yeah, good question. With addiction, it's such a crazy thing because there's so many things that there is. Like, I feel just having that self-awareness to understand what is going on and why you're doing these things. And I feel like there's so many things because it's a range from diet to, you know, but yeah, like I feel anybody that's beat addiction, they have some sort of practice like that, like some sort of meditation or something that's, and diet is huge too. I've talked to tons of people about diet. And as you know, it's such a factor in how you feel and changes how you think, right? So a lot of times people with diet, people going through things, I think there's a lot to address. But I would say that meditation and gratitude shows up a lot. And it tends to be something that is a really good tool for people to at least have as like a consistency every day to work on, you know?
What would you say? So that's been the common thread for most of the people. What has caught you most by surprise? Like, what type of guests have caught you that, you know, you're kind of going along and it's like, you know what? Yeah, you're caught off guard, or they make an point that you're like, I got to write this down, or this is really cool, or my listeners are going to have that aha moment.
Oh yeah, there's been some where I'm thinking, oh yeah, like I'm talking to somebody and all of a sudden they start talking about ayahuasca, plant medicine. I'm like, what? I didn't think we were going down this road. And I'm like, this is amazing. Like there's some people that, you know, we get into, I'm thinking in my head, okay, I've done a little bit of background. I don't like to do too much background research because I like a bit of surprise too. I don't like to know everything because then I'm like, I feel like I don't know. For me anyway, I like to kind of have a little bit of a surprise, but some people I go into it thinking, okay, we're going to talk about this and it'll probably go more businessy, but then it's like plant medicine? What? Like, and that gets talked about a lot too. That's a whole other thing. You know, these plant medicine journeys and stuff people are going on. That's another rabbit hole. That's crazy.
How do you say that? Like these journeys, it's just that people are exploring or researching or traveling.
People are using plant medicine for a lot of things, for addictions as well. People are using for toxic habits, a lot of things going on that they've been using therapy for years. And they've gone on and I'm not condoning anything. Like, this is all personal, this is whatever. People can make their own choice. This is just what's out there. This is what people tell me. That they've had therapy for years and they go away and then they have this amazing breakthrough. And you start to hear this stuff more often and it comes up, it gets talked about more. And I keep hearing it more and more and more come into my conversations. So this is one thing that really stood out to me when you asked me. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking, well, what's something that's, and this is one thing that pops up a lot lately.
Does therapy I mean, I would assume if you have a lot of people who are coming from one end and of the spectrum to another, does therapy come up often in the discussions?
Yeah, like I've heard people talk about the different things they've tried to improve, because look, at the end of the day, everybody's got problems. Everybody's got limited beliefs. People of all walks of life have had issues. And that's the beautiful thing, is we all have problems, and that's just life, right? They're challenges. But I just find a lot of people are sort of seeking a way, whether it's through hypnotherapy, to kind of break free from that the story we're telling ourselves, you know? And so many people have it, and they just want a way to do that, whether it's therapy, whether that's hypnotherapy, whether that's ayahuasca in Peru, whatever that is. I just find that so interesting, because there's so many common threads. There's so many common things that people have as far as limited beliefs that they just want to get rid of them. And they just haven't been able to up until this point, unless they do something that's out of the norm, so to speak.
Like practice gratitude.
Yeah. Which, well, that.
No, I'm being facetious at this point, because it actually has come back to so many people coming through. And I find a lot of the discussions that I seem to be having too on limited beliefs and what we think we know and what we're closed off to understanding, it's really quite fascinating. Are you dealing with people now who are at a different financial level, who had no money and who found a way to be able to make a ton of money, or who are kind of working at the bottom of the totem pole and are now CEOs of companies? Are you able to be able to get, those are the types of guests that are being able to share their A to Z stories?
Yeah, there's a mix. There's some of that. There's some people that are still on their journey. There's some people that, yeah, there's a mix. I've had a few of those that are just crushing it, and you know, some that have money that don't care about money anymore. You know, pro athletes that were playing pro sports, you know, win championships with teams, and now they just don't care about any of that stuff.
What are they caring about? What are they talking about as their?
Well, like Ronnie Turioff was one that really, you know, he won a championship with Miami Heat, you know, and with LeBron James. I'm talking to this guy that's played with Kobe, just an amazing human. It's one of my favorite conversations. And he's just talking about how, you know, these guys are, you have this lifestyle and they're so idolized. And then it's just, there's such a thing that we don't see in that side, like when you're the actual athlete, and there's just so much pressure and there's so many things happening. And then when you get out of that, all of a sudden, you really, like, he's just exploring the spiritual side now, this like side that's completely away from any of that, to like, you know, take time for family and to do other things. And for me, that's fascinating, because we get so caught up in thinking about, well, once, you know, plan, getting, making millions and doing that. But when you have done that, you realize, okay, well, there's more to life than just that. And I love that idea too. So I love interviewing the people that have worked their way up or on their way, or the people that have made it and now deciding, hey, there's other ways to life too, you know? And that's what I find really interesting.
Okay. Has this podcast, this is an honest question, has this podcast almost been like your therapy?
Yes.
Because you talk about people being on their journeys and maybe they haven't, for me, I'm listening to you kind of going, this is your form of therapy, doing these yeah. podcasts. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it's 100% true, and I've said that too. It's been so therapeutic for me to have these conversations with people. It's just unbelievable. I'm just so grateful for it, because just the level of conversations and how I feel after, I'm just vibrating at such a level of when you get to talk to people about these things and you just see what having that connection and then having that, like, just that raise in consciousness and energy at the end of the conversation, I'm just vibing. I'm just like, this is amazing. And I get to do that every day. And I've done this for, you know, 9-10 months solid of just every single day hammering it out. And it's just been amazing. So yeah, like the therapy side of it, 100%.
100%. Which of your guests do you most relate to then?
I don't know. That's a tough one. I don't have an answer for you on that one. As far as, I haven't really interviewed anybody who's been in a similar story as mine. Like,
but isn't that amazing that everyone has such a different story? Or have you assumed yes. that you were going to get one thing from a guest and then found that you're like, oh my God, I was totally thrown off and nowhere near where I thought this was going.
It happens every single day, every single time. Sometimes I'm so intimidated, and not as much anymore, but at first, and then it's like, wow, we could be high-fiving each other by the end of it. It's like, yeah, it's totally, you don't know. You don't know. And that's why it's so cool, because I could have all the questions lined up and I won't even get to them because I don't want it to flow like that. I want it to be natural conversation. If I get to them and it works out, I love that. But I've gone in so prepared thinking, okay, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that. And I go in and I'm like, I don't even ask that because it doesn't even matter.
Well, that's because you're listening, which is always a really good sign. It's funny because everyone's like, can I get a list of questions? And I'm like, I'm not going to have a single question. I'm just going to listen to what you say and be able to understand from that point on. You mentioned, though, that there was an intimidation, right, when you first started to ask these questions. So there, I see that as a limited belief, right? You're sitting down at a microphone to start asking and interviewing people, where, as I'm sure you had a couple of interviews done on you when you were playing junior hockey. But other than that, what allowed you the courage to sit in front of a mic and start the dialogue and say, we're going to take the first step in this? Because I think that's where so many people get caught, is they get so scared and they have these limited beliefs that they don't actually press record and actually do it.
I just said, what do I have to lose? I'm like, I thought, just be confident, because they don't know that you don't know how to do this. And to be honest, I'm not going to, like, there's not many things in life that I've naturally picked up, but connecting with people has been something that it's my natural talent. I feel like I can do it. It's because I've had years in the bars. Right. So
I get that, but you don't have drunk people sitting across the,
that's
you know,
true.
Like, you know, like,
no,
there's
yeah.
You're losing a sense of having,
you're right,
you know, that two drink buzz, right? Like, how did you get there to say, let's feel this way, to have that, I don't want to say liquid courage, but to have that without those tools, to feel like that real sense of how you connect with people can come out.
That's you're that's so true. Let me think about that. Yeah, I guess it's, at first, it's not always that easy, I think. And I think it's just finding like that common interest, like, almost, and asking the right questions. I don't know. At first it was tricky, and it still comes up. Like, you know, someone like Grant Cardone agreed to come on my show, and it's like, I'm going to be nervous to talk to him, you know? I mean, I am. And I guess, I don't know if that, some days I feel more anxiety than others. I don't know. It's weird.
I see it like, that's like an athlete. It's like you have a game. You have a big game ahead of you. So do you prepare, or do you kind of psych yourself up almost like you're about to step out on the ice and the competitive side of you comes out?
Yeah. It's, I have to, I've had days where I don't I don't go to the gym and stuff. I've tested it, and there's days where I'm like, oh man, this is going to be tough. It's 9 a.m. I'm like, I haven't even finished my first coffee yet. I'm like trying to, how's this going to work? I've had too many coffees, you know, like whatever. There's so many things. Yeah. But to prep, I try and get a workout in, go for a sauna, some sort of move in the body so that I'm like in the zone, charged up. Just like you prep for anything. Yeah. Like, you want to be energetically there. As far as like memorizing everything about a person, I mean, I don't think that's necessary, but you need to be energetically there. You need to be, you got to have your state. You got to manage your state, like Tony Robbins says, right? You got to be responsible for your state. And I think that's what you can control. You don't know what the person's going to be like. And I think, as you know, you've been doing this. You're great at this, by the way, like, amazing interviewer, like, amazing.
Thank you.
And like, you know that it's like, you can't, you just, the kind, you vibe off the energy, right? So if you're vibing high, chances are you'll be able to vibe them high. If you're vibing low, it's like,
it's a struggle, right? It's a struggle. I don't feel it on, for me, doing any of the podcasts, because this is brilliant for me. And plus, I have an hour to talk with people. I had a tough time when I had 4 minutes on a live show to be able to get all the information out in 4 minutes when half the people were still half asleep. So this for me is incredibly energizing. Plus the fact that I think people are looking to find inspiration. They're looking to find a person that's going to help gear them in the right direction. They're looking to emulate someone else's behavior and patterns to be able to say, if it's working for them, I'm going to try it. I really hope that there's a couple people who are listening right now who tomorrow morning get up and put on a sheet of paper 10 things that they're grateful for. And that's for me is where I find my fuel and the passion for it. Now, you immediately just mentioned, I go for a workout, I go do my sauna, then we know that you're meditating, then we know. So because you've had a lot of people also on your podcast that are health and wellness based, what would you say are the list of things that have allowed people to feel the energy, feel what is going to get them through the days that most people are suggesting doing, especially from the health and wellness practitioners you've had on?
A lot of fasting, a lot of being smart with what you're eating. You're not going to go eat a big, huge meal right before you got to do something that involves brain activity. You know, for me personally, I've interviewed a lot of people who have done intermittent fasting, you know, time restricted eating, stuff like that. And I've been doing it for years. I've been doing Bulletproof since 2012.
Couldn't do the coffee. I couldn't do it.
I have to do, like right now I'm in a fasted state. The minimum is just like Bulletproof coffee for me. It just keeps my, or just coffee. I found that for me, and what I've talked to a lot of people, is just not having a big breakfast has been crucial. At that focus, I need that focus. If I was going to eat a big meal before, I'd be toast, like literally. And a lot of people I've noticed have been adopting that same sort of time-restricted eating, you know, not eating less, just eating less frequent. And I found that that's been a common thing lately. It's kind of become more mainstream. And just being smart with, you know, your healthy fats and, you know, less crap and more, you know, quality.
Have you had people on the podcast that are about weight loss, you know, that they're, that have had these massive dips? Or, okay, that's a hard question, because you've had 100. What would you say if I have my listeners right now saying, okay, there could be some interesting stories. What would you say would be your top five? Or give us, we're going to go down your list. What would you recommend them? And give me an example of areas that they're coming from.
Okay, what's really interesting is, I wonder if your audience, Kundalini yoga, have you talked about this on your show before? Kundalini?
It's been mentioned, but I haven't done a thing on it.
I have an amazing episode with Dr. Nicholas Jensen. He's actually my naturopath in Vancouver. He's got a podcast called The Doctor Dads too. Amazing guy. We talked about a little bit about fasting, and that he follows Dr. Pompa, which is, he's very, there a lot of fasting, a lot of fasting conversations. People are for weight loss, for anti-aging, but we also get into Kundalini yoga and the benefits of that for moving your energy systems around and really changing your energy. Like, I don't know if anybody's familiar with Dr. Joe Dispenza.
Oh my God.
Okay.
That's one of my top meditation. I'm like, okay, where do I want to feel today? He's amazing.
So Kundalini yoga, what he's teaching is kind of the same sort of thing. You got your energy chakras, your systems, and Kundalini yoga is about moving that around through chants and breath. Okay. So we talk about that, and that is super powerful. And then we even talk about different things about the energy that you hold on to from other people, like through, you know, partners and sexual experience, and like the different stuff that can really, that you hold on to with your energy. And I don't know where I was going with that, but that's a really good episode.
Okay.
Dr. Nick, is that what you're asking me? What are my favorite episodes?
No, this is good. Yeah. Like, this is good. Okay, but the subjects that you're bringing up with it, I'm like, okay, these are where people need to go, or it's being exposed to. I had no idea who Dr. Joe Dispenza was, you know, 6 months ago. Now he's one of my top, you know, looks on YouTube. What is he talking about these days?
And it's Becoming Supernatural is an amazing book. You got that one, right?
No, I haven't. I actually haven't. All the stuff I've done with him has been through the YouTubes and the meditations.
But it's fascinating, and it's really the thing is a lot of people think that kind of stuff is woo, but when you bring science into it, you take this complicated thing that's been around for thousands of years and you tie it in with some science, it's like, whoa, okay, you can't argue with it. Never mind how you feel, but like, okay, there's actually data now. So I went to a couple different Kundalini yoga and regular yoga is totally different. This is like, these guys are like turbans with like beards, and it's crazy, amazing stuff. And it's all about moving that energy system. You know, you got your energy for moving like your sex energy to your brain and being able to utilize it properly. Just fascinating stuff. These are the kind of conversations I have. And like,
it's great. It's interesting to know that when you have these people on, this is a stream of topics that are happening. Yeah. And I'm sure that Kundalini yoga wasn't something you thought you were going to be talking about when
Absolutely
you first launched
not.
This podcast. You know, it's amazing the world that opens up to you if you're being a little bit open-minded. Did you feel like the limited beliefs and not being open-minded and blocked in thinking was the biggest thing that people had to deal with and to switch, or that's their pivot? It's becoming more open and awakened.
Yeah. Yeah. Even so many people have had, you have to be open-minded. I don't know whether it's just the circle of the kind of people that I'm talking to, but it feels like everybody's waking up. But I don't know if that's just because it's the people that I surround myself with now. It's like a lot of people, and same with me, even like I've been doing just regular yoga lately, like crazy. And it's completely changed my life. I've gone every single day. Just practicing that into my life, because I box, I play hockey, I do all these weights, I do all this stuff, but I was really unbalanced and I was still like not feeling great. You tie that in with like, you know, vinyasa and all this other kind of hot yoga. It's like, wow, like I just feel way more balanced. And I feel like a lot of people are realizing that as well, that they need balance, and they're becoming more self-aware that, you know, it's not all about the hustle, 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 grind, grind, grind. It's like, okay, there's the benefit in downtime too. There's benefit in self-care and loving yourself. And, you know, and I just feel like people in general that I come in contact with are sort of waking up, you know, if that makes any sense.
Well, it totally does. But you've exposed yourself and you've opened to yourself up. And as you talked about the energy and how the world works in mysterious ways, those are the same people that are finding you, right? The ones that are awakened also. And it's a crazy little domino effect that, you know, once you're in on the domino, it's a pretty cool thing to be aware of. So where do you see this podcast going? And where are you hoping to see the University of Adversity go?
Do you want me to be honest with you
right
now?
That would be great, yes.
Okay.
Because you haven't been honest the last 50 minutes.
My vision,
yes.
Like I said earlier, I want to be like the Tom Bilyeu of Canada. I want to have a TV show. I want University of Adversity to be like a TV show. I want it to be a movement, a culture. I feel everybody has a story. Everyone has adversity. Adversity is an interesting word to play with. And I want to shift the perspective on it. And I want to interview everybody. I want to interview the biggest, the best, everything, and have that as, you know, like a movement, like a culture. I don't know if you're familiar with John Lee Dumas and Entrepreneurs on Fire, but he's like one of the best podcasters ever. And those are the people, like I see this as being a massive thing. And I want to interview hockey players. I want to interview, you know, the best athletes and what they've gone through, and really, you know, plant my flag in Canada as that.
Mm-hmm. We got to play the full 60 minutes. We got to give it 100%. And, you know, with one guy out, it just gives more opportunity for the next guy coming in. Do you want me to go off? I can go off on my hockey cliches. Good luck with those interviews. Let me tell you.
Yeah. Or listen to the hockey guys.
Oh, I could give you all of them. Okay, but I love this idea. Do you think people are ready for it? You know, you've got a base now. Are people now starting to give you ideas? Are they saying, oh, you know what, I heard this story, or have you checked out this person?
Yeah, a little bit. Like, I don't even think I've scratched the surface yet, you know? And I feel like if I just keep releasing 3 a week, just keep on, you know, I'm going to interview people like yourself, like that have been in an amazing career. And I just love it. I'm going to keep it going, and I'm just not going to worry about the outcome. I'm just going to keep it going and, you know, reach out to different people and, you know, as far as promoting products of theirs that I like. Like, I like the idea of where this is going. It's kind of like the new media, right? You must see this. You must see how things have changed.
Mm-hmm.
It's so different
absolutely.
Now.
I saw how things were changing when I was in that media and was looking, you know, through my side over to the other side going, there's something happening over there and I want to be a part of it. Right.
Yeah.
So it's interesting, but I think a lot of it comes back to the people that you're surrounding yourself with are an integral part of it.
Yeah.
And how they're thinking. So you, okay, so I got one episode out of you that seemed to list like 10 okay. things that people needed to go. Okay, give me four more before we wrap things up. Just okay. think off the top of your head and like give me like two points that we're going to get from them.
Okay, well, the one I mentioned, Ronnie Turioff, just because people want to listen. People like these people that have played sports. So let's go Ronnie Turioff. Let's go, which will be like a spiritual thing. Let's go Joe Hawley, who played 8 years in the NFL. He's another guy on another spiritual journey.
See, more spirituality. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's Mark Lack was a good one. Mark Lack is like the king of personal branding on social media. He's literally interviewed everybody. He had business rock stars. The business rock stars, like it was like a TV show.
What did you learn?
He's been on Delta Airlines.
What did you learn from him though? Yeah.
His story was amazing. He had like a sickness. He got really sick and he got through that. But what he's been able to create through personal branding and what he's been able to do and connect with all these people through these shows and his connections has just been amazing. Just from like a business side of what he's been able to do as far as personal branding, because it's huge, right? And he emphasizes how important that is for your brand. You have to have a personal brand. You have to. Another one. I don't know. It's tough off the top of my head. I have to.
You gave us four to work with.
Let me just go through.
He's gonna scroll quick. Through it, and he's like, "Who am I gonna upset by not listing them? Am I top
what other? Okay,
five?
So tell me, do you want like a spiritual one, or do you want like
Well, it seems like a lot of them come down to spirituality, even though that you weren't booking them in for that topic, right? When you're booking in NFL players and NBA players, I don't think you were anticipating spirituality was going to be such a big topic of conversation.
No, it's kind of the way it always ends up. And I almost wonder if I should think about, I got another one. An awesome one. Okay. Michael Graziano. He's the founder of Global Degree, which basically you can do, you can travel the world and you can get an education while traveling the world, which is really cool. So that's episode 51, Having a Global Gratitude with Michael Graziano. Amazing guy. You're going to be the youngest person to visit every single country in the world or something like that. I think that's his stat.
That's a really cool story.
Yeah, it's really cool.
I can
connect you guys.
Wow, that's really neat. No, I love that idea. Travel.
Every country
in
the world.
Do you miss are you doing okay being back and not being in the environment that you were in? I mean, Vancouver is a great place to live, but you were in a very different scenario across the globe in Australia. I think you were probably able to travel a little, you know. Do you miss that, or do you find that you are getting more of the gratitude of what life has ahead for you in the space you're in right now?
I do miss the social aspect. I miss going and having that social aspect of like being in the bars a little bit. I don't miss the toxic stuff, but I miss the early in the evening. Everybody's still sober. Everyone's happy. Good vibe.
I don't miss the late night. I always tell people like the start of the night is always the best.
Yeah. And then like I don't miss the 3 a.m, you know, drunk douchebag guys falling down and puking. And I don't miss that. And I don't miss having to throw people out because of security. It's a slow night and Monday night and there's no security. So I have to deal with it. Like, I don't miss that kind of stuff, but I do miss people. I do miss that. And I don't go out as much anymore.
I'm going to try this one. Do you think your conversations with people across the bar 5 years ago would have been different asking questions to them had you known the information you know now?
100%. 100%. That was the thing, is that I would talk to them about cocktails, stuff that like I took an interest, like it was like, it's like cooking to me, but it wasn't meaningful for me. It would get more into that, but now my conversations are different.
Was the last book you read, or what book inspired you, is more of the opening question at this point.
Well, to what I would ask them, or what for me?
Right, like the questions that you're now asking people, right?
Of course. Yeah, of course. That way different. Like, what's your morning routine? Like, I wouldn't even know what that was before. You know, who inspires you? You know, who is somebody you look up to? What's your favorite book? Like that kind of thing. Yeah, totally different. Instead of like, what'd you do last night?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so give me your top three books. Suggested books. Or the books that you seem to have come up often with some of your guests.
Okay, amazing book called Happy Pocket Full of Money. Amazing book. The Power of Now was huge for me, and Think and Grow Rich.
Those are the top three.
Those would be the top three. Happy Pocketful of Money is like a newer, easier, understandable way of explaining Think and Grow Rich kind of thinking. How to do gratitude, why it works, why meditation works. Very underrated book.
Mm, can I suggest one? Have you done The Surrender Experiment or The Untethered Soul?
No.
By David Singer? Okay. So you're writing those two down, and then in our next conversation, you're going to tell me how you like those. So the first one of his is The Untethered Soul.
And okay, so which one do I need to read before our interview first, or do I have to read both?
I think you're going to read The Untethered Soul and will immediately want to go and pick up The Surrender Experiment, because that's what I did. Yeah. It's really neat, especially now that you're on this journey also. I feel like we're very similar in that it's been about 9 months or so since we kind of started on the spiritual side of things as our salvaging the craziness that was going on in the head. So those are going to be my two that I'm going to suggest to you. All right. Okay, so I've got to wrap things up now, but people can find you where, like, what's the best way for them to go and find you and be able to take a listen?
I think the best way is follow me on Instagram, Lance W. Isios.
Okay, spell it, because how you say it and how you spell it. Even know that. Yeah, I spelt it for me to pronounce like easy, and then I had like O's. Yeah.
When I played hockey, my family used to pronounce it Esahas, and I got so mad because it's Greek and they pronounced it wrong, and it used to piss me off my whole life until I decided to change the pronunciation. So my friends are all like, "You changed your last name." I'm like, "I just don't like that sound." Anyway, so it's LanceWessios. And I would say go to Instagram. I'm highly active on there, and you can email me as well. It's all in my Linktree, iTunes, Spotify, however you want to listen to the podcast.
The University of Adversity.
So the University of Adversity, it's kind of like my Instagram has that as the main theme. So it's super easy to figure out.
Yeah, you'll figure it all out. Lance, it was awesome to talk to you. I'm really, I can't wait. I can't wait to like check in like a year, you know, and be like, where are you at? Who have you interviewed? What's going on? And if the thread remains the same for so many people, awakening, spirituality, meditation, mindfulness, gratitude. It is the common factor and chain that seems to be following so many of these people. Lance, it was a pleasure. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. And I forgot. Wait, we get to talk again, right? Because I'm going to be doing yours. So be really, really cool. But
this was a lot of fun.
Oh, thank you.
I love this very much. You're a pro. I need to take notes on the way you interview, because it's, I'm really, really, truly, I wouldn't say that to anybody. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I think you've got a lot to share too. So I'm looking forward to seeing how your journey actually continues. So with that being said, I just want to say thanks so much to everyone who's listening. I really appreciate it. And continue to like, subscribe, comment, share, let people know Living Your Life with Leanne Lang is out there, and be able to see this grow as well, just like the University of Adversity. All right. Have a great day, everyone.
Come on a journey like no other, where you will discover many roads that will lead you to a happier, healthier, and more stress-free life. And the beauty is, you don't need any vacation time for this adventure. The journey will come to you. Join Avery Rich on your very own journey into yoga. Along the way, she will demystify yoga poses and guide you into a yoga posture or short sequence, all in less than 15 minutes. You have nothing to lose but stress. The Journey into Yoga podcast. It's not for people who like yoga. It's for people who don't like yoga. Follow or subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or at averyrich.com.